to celebrate and give thanks. We've been waiting for this day all year long. Well, we've been waiting for it at least through the season of Lent. We've been waiting for this day to celebrate all life long, really. A new life that we've been given in Christ Jesus. So we hear the word of the Lord for us this day as we move. Charles, I'm going to need you to switch the switch, please. There you go. In this guided tour to the cross of Jesus, these Lenten weeks. And these weeks we've enjoyed various characteristics and aspects of what the cross of Jesus means for us and how it's expressed through us. In things like, I am having trouble with this again, on Easter Day, of course, right? Yeah. I need batteries, please. Oh, it did it? Are you doing it? All right, I'll just point at you, Charles, and you do it, okay? Thanks. So, as we began on Ash Wednesday, the passport that we've been given to begin this journey of faith, and to the empty tomb, ultimately, of life in Jesus, is his blood. His blood that redeems us, that puts us on the path in relationship with our Redeemer. That reminds me, then, of the certainty of hope and that I've received, and of the Father's gift of love that we've been given. These are characteristics of the righteousness of the Lord at work in him and for us, which embraces me then in his peace because I have a trusting relationship with him. And that blessing of being able to trust in him is what's expressed and lived out. So that then I might be faithful as I'm called to persevere. We're called to persevere in faith, right? Perseverance is an aspect of our faith that's lived out through that Christ-like attitude of humility. Humility. Or as the prophet and as the gospel writer put it, Jesus coming into Jerusalem lowly, gentle, riding on a donkey. That aspect of humility that we shared in the parade of last Sunday's Palm Sunday joy and celebration, which led us then into this week of Thursday and Friday, where service of Jesus was exemplified, the gift where he gave us himself, take, eat, take, drink, a gift that we'll receive in just a few minutes, and an example that he gives us. Love one another as I have loved you, and that example in the washing of feet. This is all part of service that we know in him and is expressed in us, ultimately in that gift of sacrifice. Jesus, giving himself as the Lamb of God, the Redeemer, to save us from our sins. All of this has been now our guided tour to the cross these Lenten weeks. Lent is finished. It's over. As Jesus proclaimed from the cross, it is completed. His work of redeeming. And now we're guided to the empty tomb. An empty tomb that proclaims for us new life. New life. The risen Lord. Living a new life. And a new life in the risen Lord that he would give to you and me. To all people who know him as Lord and Savior. Certainly a new life that defines these days until life everlasting. So this is where we are now. Guided to the cross. Now before the empty tomb. As we pick it up in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. So, the Sabbath is over. Mary and the women, they buy spices and they want to go and anoint Jesus' body properly, as according to Jewish custom. And they're making their way to the tomb and they're asking themselves, but wait, who's going to roll the stone away? How are we going to get in there to anoint Jesus' body? Well, we're told then, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord Almighty came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone, and in a biblical characteristic of victory, he sat on it. He sat on that throne. The stone is rolled away. This is the victory of our Lord that we proclaimed. And so, in that moment that the women come to the tomb and they see this, there, given the opportunity to grasp, as we are today, that a new life is established. A resurrected, glorified life of the risen Lord is established. And this is how he establishes it. It's his hand at work. It's his power being exemplified. Where the angel of the Lord sent from our Father to earth He comes to the tomb and he rolls the stone away and he establishes then that victory that we can bear testimony to as the victorious people of God as with faith in Jesus. So here we are today at the empty tomb. Oh, thanks, God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us now here to this moment to celebrate on this day the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And with euphoric faith and voice, we proclaim the Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. Yes, we thank you for that, Lord. And we get to say hallelujah now too, don't we? Yeah, that's right. And while all of that is going on, yet still there's something else. That with the stone rolled away, here we find ourselves peering into a lifeless opening. Maybe we find ourselves peering into something that stirs within us an aspect of our life and our living that might just be a bit unsettling for us. When we lived in the Philippines, we went to various villages, and on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, we would celebrate under the banana trees and the palm trees and the sun coming up over the South China Sea. No, wait, that was the other coast. There was sun coming up somewhere, and it was a beautiful resurrection celebration, memorable, as you can tell, right? But one of the things that I always didn't care for so much in these villages, in these barrios, were that they all had wells that they would draw water from. I was terrified of these wells. To peer down and look inside was terrifying. It was as close to danger as I felt that I could ever get in life. And, of course, part of what made that seem that way is there was always a story in the barrio of some child who had fallen in the well and died, drowned, or if there was no water in the well, they hit the bottom and they were killed. And so for me, these wells were terrifying. So going to the edge and peering in was as close to death that I felt I could get. Maybe it's not wells for you. Maybe it's a swimming hole. You know, this place actually exists. It's in Texas. It's called the Pool of Death. It's a popular swimming hole. People actually go there and swim. It's not like the water sucks you down or anything. The reason why it's called the Pool of Death is they try to go down to the bottom and explore. And there's caves down there. And if they don't have scuba gear or proper training, they get lost and they die. Maybe that's a kind of hole that just gives you the peering into death that is terrifying. Maybe some of you don't like the claustrophobicness of caves, so spelunking is not something for you at all, right? And I think one of the frustrating things about caving, spelunking, is when you go in, you can't go all the way all the time because it either narrows down or there's rubble blocking the way. Or for me, what's terrifying is which direction do you go and how do you know which direction to get out then too, right? Maybe you've been on a glacier sometime or some kind of a ice patch and you look down and you see this great crevasse and there's no bottom to it. Maybe that's something that terrifies you. For us today, as we're gathered at the empty tomb, we're looking into this lifeless hole. We're being convicted of our existence, really. We come face to face in this empty tomb with our humanity. One day, unless the good Lord chooses to return, this might be our dwelling place for a while. Death haunts us all. It grips us. Sometimes it terrifies us. And for some of us today, the very thought of death and dying is that which grips us in such fear that it maybe even immobilizes our faith. Is that what the risen Lord would want for us? To be so terrified and gripped by fear that it would immobilize us as people of faith? Of course not. No, because as we peer into this empty tomb, while we're coming face to face with our existence, we're also coming face to face with the victory that Jesus has won for us. In that tomb of his, Paul would remind us, we're buried with him. In baptism, we're buried with him. All my sins, my guilt, my fear, all of that is locked away in that tomb when he died and when he was buried. And those days that he was lying there, he went to hell. He descended to hell to defeat those enemies so that he might come out and proclaim a victorious life for me. Ah, peering into an empty tomb, peering into a well or a cave, those don't fear us anymore. No, because we've been given the message. We've been given the message of Jesus' resurrection. So the angels would say to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Indeed, he was crucified. Hanging on that cross there to bear our penalty of sin, Jesus died. And he proclaimed, 'It is finished, completed, it's all over.' And with that, he gave up his spirit." He didn't die because he was crucified. He died because he willingly gave it up so that we might know the other side of death. So for us, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, is a new life that he lives for me. In fact, it's a new existence. Not just living these days, but an existence that defines these days for us into everlasting life. There is no tomb that for those of us who are in Christ Jesus will ever hold us. We are victorious with him. And so the angels reminded the women, "Look, he's not here. Jesus is not here. He has risen from the dead. Come and see. Look for yourselves. This is the evidence. See the place where he lay. But he is no longer here." And again, in that reminder for us today, in the truth that defines for us, we get a chance to peer into these truths, these biblical, foundational, scriptural, God-given truths that define us. Again, like Paul would say, as we're reminded, we were therefore buried with Jesus through baptism into death. Baptism buries us with Jesus. And in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, well, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Well, that washing of baptism that's been given to us, maybe for some of us so long ago, we can't remember. I can't remember my baptism. But I know, as the Lord has said, that when I was baptized and you, we were buried with him. And when he rose from the grave, so we rose with him. So we are alive in Christ Jesus. So that the life of the Lord, Jesus himself, is his new life lived out through you and me. Resurrection Day, certainly, foremost, is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he wants us to be with him, does he not? As his followers, as believers, as those to be around the throne unto life everlasting. And so this life he lives in you and in me. And our faith, that gift of the Holy Spirit, grasps that. And we live it. Even in those moments when we're peering into an empty tomb of someone we love and care for as they've stepped into eternity and we lay them to rest for a little while, that tomb will not keep them, as it will not keep us either, as we are alive in Christ Jesus. And so as we're guided to the cross these weeks and these characteristics then that we've been enjoying and seeing being lived out in Jesus, they take on new meaning for us now as we are raised with Christ Jesus. Forgiveness and hope and love and peace and trust and perseverance. Yes, even humility, service, sacrifice, and new life. This is what we're about as God's people. This is what's exemplified now that we get to respond as people of faith, of resurrection victory in Jesus, living this out now in the opportunities of our daily lives. It's exemplified through the disciples, right? Let's go on. In verse 7, the angel said, "Go quickly to the women." He said, "Go quickly, tell his disciples, this is what you've witnessed, that Jesus is risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I've told you this, so go," right? Galilee holds a whole new existence for those disciples. Those disciples who had fled from Jesus when he was on trial. One who even denied him, Peter. Galilee will be that place where Jesus gathers them around a fire with fish. And he has breakfast with them. And he reestablishes Peter into the fold. And he prepares his disciples for what's coming next. This existence that's going to be lived out as his apostles. So, our new life is the expression that Jesus has risen from the dead, that we too have a new existence. No matter what we were involved with yesterday, even this morning, the forgiveness of Christ Jesus and the victory that he proclaims gives us a new existence that we enjoy every day. And that existence is marked by his resurrection victory in you. And so, the women, they hurried away from the tomb. They were still a little bit afraid, it seems, but they were filled with joy. And they ran to tell the disciples this good news. This good news that now had defined them with a purpose. I've got something to say. So do we. We have a new life. Our existence in him is in the risen one for a new purpose each day. Sometimes we get to use words with that. But it's who we are as God's people. Those very characteristics, the righteousness of Jesus, defines us and gives our living each day a new purpose, no matter what we're involved with, no matter who we run across, no matter what struggles or trials we might run into, there's a new purpose to my existence and my living because it's defined by Jesus in me in his resurrected life. And so we have opportunity to exercise that purpose every day. The response of God's grace in our lives known through faith. Thank you, Jesus. Well, suddenly, Jesus met the women there, and he said greetings to them, and they came to him, and they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Wow, what an opportunity. Not only with a new existence now and a new purpose before them, but now life has a whole new meaning because they've met the resurrected living one. So do we, friends, our life. Because of Jesus, the resurrected one, has new meaning. A new meaning. A new meaning behind it, that while our existence is in him and our purpose is defined by him, I have a meaning now that is something defined by the Lord God in eternity. A meaning that's defined in my heart, that's now expressed through my life. And nobody can take that away. Nothing will divide us from that love of God in this meaning for our purpose in his kingdom. Height, depth, tomb, a well. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in this meaning that he gives to you and me in his victory. He's the one who's done it. And he's the one who's proving it through you and me. Well, Jesus said to these women, "Look, girls, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers, go to Galilee. And there they will see me. My word will come true for them." Galilee, as I mentioned, was an opportunity for these disciples to know a new existence. And in that new existence, a new beginning. Our lives, too, marked again today, had the opportunity to express what Jesus embraces us with, and that is a new beginning. No matter, again, where you were yesterday, what old habits and bad habits have plagued you in the past, no matter what's gripped you in fear and caused that faith to sputter, that's behind us. It's over. The empty tomb proclaims that. You have an opportunity now at a new beginning because of Jesus Christ who loves you and lives in you and is victorious for you. Each day that new beginning is for us until life everlasting and our new existence in a tomb that will not hold us, it cannot, will be opened and will be with him. So we've been guided to the cross, now to the empty tomb, and with it a new life that we proclaim unto the Lord. The Lord is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this day. Yes, before the empty tomb, before you, and with one another now to the glory of your holy name to proclaim that victory that is ours. Thank you for the whole new existence with a meaning and a purpose behind it. With the opportunity, Lord, to respond to you as your people in the new life that's ours in Jesus. This is your work. And it's your work for each one of us now to be expressed in the joy and gladness that the Lord Jesus lives and I live with him unto life eternity. In Jesus' name we praise you and we pray. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that passes our understanding. So keep our hearts and minds in Jesus, who loves you, who's risen from the dead for you, and who lives in you unto the joy of life everlasting. Amen.